Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Discover the world's leading brands at bionic.radio.
Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson. Coming up this week, the end of an era as Radio City Talk in Liverpool announces plans to close. We'll chat to a legend of late night talk radio on City in the City. It's Pete Price here on the Radio Today programme. Plus, in David Lloyd's Radio Moments this week, a couple of birthday mentions, some brilliant SIG tunes, and the Wombles, the Bay City Rollers, and that near catastrophe at the Radio 1 Roadshow.
Original music for this podcast was composed by McCasoid.
First, though, Radio Today's editor and founder, Roy Martin, is back with us. A busy couple of weeks since we were last on the podcast together. Roy, what have you been up to?
What have I been up to? That's a very good question. I've actually been doing more radio stuff. Can you believe it?
Wow.
I've been doing more radio from home. So, you know, I run a little news radio station called News Radio, and it's normally just on a loop, but in recent weeks we've been putting out the government press briefings and speeches from Parliament and things like that live as they happen, which we haven't done before. So I'm rewiring things in the studio to make that happen nice and easy. And yeah, because I'm literally at home all day, I'm here to press buttons and do things like that. So yeah, I've been doing actual radio rather than just writing about it, which is great.
Yeah, I've been doing a little bit of things here and there as well, obviously, as well as the podcast and writing stories for Radio Today, helping out with my old friend Gunny on his Lockdown Late Show, which is going on about 15 community and hospital and digital stations around the country now. It's a live late show, a couple of hours every night, 10 o'clock. So I've been doing a bit of news updates and kind of chatting about the big stories of the day on the show. If you're interested in taking that one, get in touch with us and you can put it onto your radio station.
That sounds good. So we're on the radio at the same time, because I'm on the Andover Radio Extra Late Show as well.
Big time,
these days.
Big time. Massive.
Don't you know? Tell me about the Lockdown Late Show. Is it live? Do you do a live piece on it every night?
Yeah, so it's live between 10 and 12. They play about four or five songs an hour. There's lots of speech blocks, chatting to people about various different aspects of schools and working from home and technology and kind of some nice feel-good stories of things that are going on around the country. And then I pop up about 11 o'clock. So instead of there being a news bulletin, it's me kind of doing a bit of an update live about some of the things that have been going on that day and the kind of important lines from the government briefings and the latest on certain stuff. So yeah, it's all good fun.
Cool. So it started as the Lockdown Late Show. Is it going to be the not so much Lockdown Late Show from now on?
The looser Lockdown Late Show.
Who's Lucy?
Yeah, so cool, check that out. And yeah, if you're looking for something for your radio station to put out some kind of live content and interactive stuff that listeners can get in touch with, then have a look at lateshow.org for all the details about that. There's a story on Radio Today about it a couple of weeks ago as well. I've also been doing a bit of stuff behind the scenes to help raise awareness of hashtag forgotten freelancers. There's a lot of people working in the creative sectors, radio being one of them, who are not eligible for some of the government support, either because they can't be furloughed or because they don't qualify for the self-employed support. So we're trying to raise a bit of awareness of that. So have a look at hashtag forgotten freelancers. A lot of stuff on social media about that.
Fantastic. Maybe I should just like double your wage or something. How about that? Should we do that?
Yeah, can I have that in writing?
Of course, yeah. I'll give you £200 a month going forward. All right, how's that?
What? Right, let's get on some actual radio news, because there's been quite a bit of that since we last spoke. Bauer News, first of all, a couple of kind of procedural kind of things. They've bought the rest of First Radio Sales. I suppose we probably saw that coming, but Wireless owned half of it and Bauer owned half of it from the purchase of UKRD last year. Now that everything got approved by the CMA, means Bauer thought, right, we'll buy the rest of it and then we can run the national sales house, essentially.
Yeah, it kind of makes you think that was the plan all along, because all during the CMA investigation, we didn't really hear from Wireless. There were no public comments or announcements from Wireless about the whole thing. And then within weeks of it all closing, Wireless offloads it. So you've got, I don't know if it was the case or not, but my guess is that that was the plan all along and they just had to go through the procedures to make that happen. So it kind of makes sense. Local stations now have the choice of Bauer or Global, I guess, to represent them.
Yeah, and Bauer are marketing themselves through their Hits Radio network of advertising opportunities to lots of local markets now from those stations that they've finally got control of.
There's a new website as well. I think you showed it to me the other day, and a couple of other people have showed it to me since. That's, I don't know if it's been launched publicly, but it's Hits Radio Advertising, is it, .co.uk?
Yeah, that's right. And there's kind of, you know, local market information with all the Rajar details and everything. Hey, Rajar, we'll talk about that in a minute. The other thing Bauer have done, have tweaked their Ofcom approved areas. This is something fairly kind of standard. I guess Global did this as well. And they've just kind of said there's a couple of stations that don't fit in the Ofcom areas that we want to make this south and we want to make this west. Seems fairly straightforward, but I don't think that gives us any clues about what they're going to do with the stations, does it?
Doesn't, no. I've been trying to, well, I haven't been, I tell a lie, I was going to say I've been trying to work it out, but I haven't actually had time to try and work it out. But I'm sure other people have been having a go. But on the surface of it, it doesn't make much sense, because a lot of the stations in the new approved areas, if it gets approved, which it probably will, a lot of the stations overlap in a way, like Wave and Fire in the Bournemouth area, and then the SAM that overlaps. So I think the only thing that they're getting out of this is the ability to probably co-locate them. If they carry on as separate stations, they'll have the ability to put them all in Southampton or Bristol or wherever, or near Southampton. I think the Wave 105 HQ might be getting extended, you never know. So yeah, interesting, and something to watch.
Yeah, so this is kind of Salisbury and Swindon being in the south rather than in the west, and I think, is it Gloucestershire being in the west rather than in the Midlands and Central? I don't know. Anyway, it's kind of small detail, really, isn't it? The other big Bauer news, as we're going to find out more about on the podcast, is Radio City Talk going to shut down at the end of this month. And as a result of that, there's a few people, staff and freelancers, going to lose some work, not least Pete Price, who's been on the air for the last four decades on City and City 2 and City Talk and Magic. So we're going to get him on the Radio Today programme shortly. Bauer say they're going to hand the licence back for this medium wave frequency in Liverpool. They could just put something else on it, I guess, could they?
They could, but an AM frequency, an AM transmitter, is very expensive to run. And if it's simply a relay of something like Absolute Classic Rock or something like that, then compare it with the amount of sales they would get from Liverpool for having another transmitter, it probably doesn't make much sense. And I think it's mission accomplished with this license, because it was never asked for back in the mid-noughties. And I think Bauer only ever applied for it to try and stop somebody else getting it. So now they have the power to just give it back so that nobody else can have it. Mission accomplished. They've stopped an independent competitor coming into Liverpool. So, yeah, job done on that one. Well done, Bauer.
Yeah, and a few years ago, they actually swapped the licenses around, didn't they? So what was City Talk on FM became Radio City 2 and is now Greatest Hits. So this is the old Magic license.
Yeah, so they did a bit of housekeeping and then they got to give back the AM rather than the FM, which was a very smart move. If they sat down 5 years ago and said, right, we'll do this in 2 years, and then in 5 years from now, we'll have an excuse to give it back. If that was the plan, then well executed. But they would probably say, no, it's just because of circumstance and it's not making money. But Radio City Talk has never made money in Liverpool, I guess. So they've got what they wanted, I guess, in the end.
Let's move on to the BBC. Helen Thomas just announced this week as the new boss for Radio 2, head of station, technically kind of replacing Lewis Carney, who I think was head of content commissioning or something like that, kind of weird titles. But they've created these new head of stations for Radio 1, 2, 1 Extra, 6 Music and Asian Network. And the first of them formally announced, Helen, who was Chris Evans's producer on Drive and the exec producer on Breakfast as well, been working her way up with some other management roles. So I think that's a really good appointment for Radio 2.
Yeah, a lot of love for Helen when we tweeted the story out on Tuesday. A lot of people know Helen. She's worked in quite a few different roles, as you say, at the BBC and elsewhere. So, yeah, good appointment. Good luck to Helen. See if she'll actually do any big changes or not.
Radio 1's Big Weekend and the Capital Summertime Ball as well, both announced within a couple of days of each other. They're going to be online with exclusive performances from people's homes and stuff. With the Summertime Ball, I think, is the kind of best of the Summertime Ball from the last however many years they've been doing it now.
Yeah, globally, officially have the biggest balls in London, so it was right to take them online. Oh, dear.
There we are. And talking of Global, I thought the Heart £1 million giveaway thing was actually really, really well done. Global get a lot of stick for a lot of things to do with Heart. But to give away £1 million to one listener, as they did last week, and not only kind of have the big prize money, but the kind of drama. So Breakfast stayed on an hour longer between 10 and 11, where they did this competition mechanic. And I guess they probably would have had all the finalists in the studio opening the boxes, kind of Deal or No Deal kind of style for the big reveal. But they had to do it over Zoom, and it was a guy sat in his van who just entered the competition that morning, who walked away with £1 million. I thought, you know, the way it worked online, I was watching some of it live, was really, really good, as you would expect from Global and the resource they put into it.
Oh, exactly, yeah. If they're doing something, they do it proper, and you can tell by the results. So yeah, good work by everybody at Heart. I wonder if they'll do it again, give away £2 million. Never know.
Keep putting the money up. Lots of events have been happening online instead of in person. Obviously, the Young Audio Awards took place last week as a stream. All the details of the winners at radiotoday.co.uk. Is it next week the Radio Centre Tuning In would have been happening, so they're doing the live stream instead?
Yeah, next week was Radio Audio Week, so lots of events planned to take place next week, including, like you say, the Tuning In event. It would have been the Radio Festival as well on Monday. We should have been in London. And the Podcast Awards, I think, this weekend were scheduled originally. But yeah, Tuning In, it's going to be streamed live. Looking forward to sitting in the comfort of my own home and watching a fantastic radio event in front of my computer monitor.
Yes, so that's Tuesday the 19th. Radio Days Europe still scheduled in for the 13th to the 15th of December now in Lisbon. Mm. And Roy, it's Rage Art Week.
Yes, a splash of normality in a very not normal world right now. But we'll have the Rage Art results on the website at radiotoday.co.uk on Wednesday night. See who wins.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the next lot, because obviously these are quarter one figures, which has got the kind of first couple of weeks of lockdown right at the end of it. But then we don't know what's going on in quarter two, really, do we? Because presumably they're not out there handing out diaries right now.
No, Rage Art did say they've got some kind of plan to continue providing the data. So we'll see what next announcement they make, whether they've looked at that and said, actually, now we're going to take 3 months off, or whether they've worked out a way to do it online. Then we shall see.
Fabulous. Good to catch up with you, Roy. Stick around here on the Radio Today programme. The legend Pete Price is here in just moments.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionic Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
This is the Radio Today programme, and some news this week that City Talk in Liverpool is going to close after 12 years on the air. Bauer says it's handing back the AM licence to Ofcom. This change means the end of the road at City for a Merseyside legend. It's Pete Price. Welcome to the podcast, Pete.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So, first of all, you've not been on the air for 5 or 6 weeks now because of this lockdown. How have you been finding that?
It's difficult. I mean, I've been in radio now for 40 years, and I've been with the City brand now virtually 40 years.
Wow.
So it's part of my life, and I am also working comics, so I've always been a nighttime person, and I really took and take my job very responsibly, because I am there for people who are lonely, who are by themselves, who are isolated, as we all are right now. And what was sad about when I lost my show, and I understand why, which I'll explain in a minute, but when I lost it on a Sunday, and by the way, on the last day we did, which was the 29th of March, on the last day, we got stuck in the lift at 1 o'clock in the morning and everything was on lockdown. 2.5 hours we were in the lift. So it was horrendous. Now, the reason why, it's not a big staff. And Jonathan, my producer, Jonathan Dean, and the young man who was doing the phones, Jonathan does an awful lot of work on the technical side with and the programmes with Radio City Talk. So to lose him and to have a boy as well who mans the phones in this time. If anything had happened to Jonathan, thank goodness it didn't, then we would have been stuck with somebody to help run the station.
Yeah, so the reason it stopped then 5 weeks ago was safety, was it?
Safety, completely and utterly safety, because everybody was, it was cut down completely. And also my show needs two people, so that's giving two other people a problem. So I understood it. So I wasn't upset. I was upset in the fact that I was twiddling my thumbs on a Sunday night, because and people were on social media going, where are you, where are you? And I kept explaining to them. But I understood that completely and utterly why they did it.
So this week then they announced that they were going to shut Radio City Talk at the end of this month. How did you find out the news? What was your feeling when you heard it?
I knew it was coming, because talk radio is expensive these days. I understand completely why the company have taken this decision. I feel dreadfully sorry for all the staff and all my colleagues. I really, really feel really badly for them. But I knew it was coming because it is expensive. And because social media has changed talk radio so much. Now, in America, it's turned around and come back. In England, it's going away. They are still listening to the show, but they're not reacting the same way. They're reacting on social media rather than ring. So I wasn't, if I was honest, enjoying my show as much as I had been for the last 40 years. And it's been a hell of a journey. So I was expecting it, but it still didn't make it any easier. It still hurt, because it's the end of an era for me. And I've had some phenomenal days. So I was very sad that I'm going with a station. And where I live on the Wirral, I am looking, as I speak to you now, right over at the Radio City Tower, which is the weirdest thing in the world. So they used to leave notes in the window with a pair of binoculars. I can see, please bring some tea bags.
And I think our Twitter timeline kind of exploded when we released the Radio City Talk news. And then when we put out your kind of reaction to it as well, I guess yours has been just as busy with people responding.
I've had the most... my autobiography was called Name Dropper, so here we go. Sharon Osbourne's rung me from America. John Bishop's been on. Les Dennis has been on. I've had an outpouring of love that has really, really touched me. But I've got to tell you, and this is an exclusive story because I'm really chuffed about this, and this is a radio story. I am where I am today because of one man. One man impressed me so much that I thought, I want to do what he does. And he's actually written to me an email saying, commiserations on losing your job and what an amazing broadcaster you are. And he is and was Red Rose's Alan Beswick.
Ah, wow. And but I mean, around that time with Alan Beswick and Alan Robson and James Whale, you were all these massive names in late night radio in ILR. These days, those kind of stations don't want people like you on the air, and that's obviously why you moved to City Talk rather than being on the main Radio City. Why are we leaving it to the talk stations to do all the talk?
I don't know. I mean, you know yourself, because it's a huge radio industry, and this is what you represent is a major fabric in our industry. Radio is now competing with Twitter, Facebook, Zoom, whatever. And they need music, they need to sell, they need to make money. It's changing. I don't think radio is in a good place right now, and it certainly isn't in a good place with this virus. And I think we're going to get the shock of our lives, because I think radio stations in general and companies have realized, why do they need buildings when people can do shows from home? I think the whole face of the radio industry is going to change, and I think City Talk is just the start. And I'm talking about every company, not just Bauer.
Yeah, it could be a different world. I mean, you talked about social media changing things. I suppose it is a lot easier, isn't it, to just fire out a tweet than it is to pick up the phone or, you know, actually write a letter, probably as they did in the early days to you at City. Social media has kind of been a great thing for interaction. But as you say, it stopped people wanting to actually come on the air and have a chat with you.
Well, do you know what makes me even more angry? We pay for the calls. And then we ring them back and they say, oh, I'm not waiting. I want to go on now. Pardon, but I'm paying for the call. Yeah, but I'm not. They're listening, but they're not reacting. When I always use this as an example. When the dreadful case of James Bulger broke the story. I was finishing five nights a week after a four-hour show with 200 calls left on a local radio station that I couldn't get to. That was the power of a phone-in in those days. People were grieving. People wanted to hear what other people were saying. People wanted to find out the facts. And it was, I had a breakdown at the end of it because it was it went on for months and months. But now, because we have 24-hour news and so many outlets, I think now we are in a position where we're numb to anything. And we don't get shocked anymore. I find it bizarre. And as I say, after 40 years of doing it, towards the end, I haven't enjoyed it. But I loved my listeners. I mean, I was the first person to do a Dateline Evening Encounter, which we did on air years and years ago. I had 10 weddings. And a young girl came up to me about 6 months ago in the street, threw her arms around me and said, "Oh, my word, you'll be priced. Because of you, my mum and dad met. And look at me. I'm here." I just... Wow, you know.
That's amazing. And in terms of City Talk, obviously, when it launched, 2008, 12 years ago, the country wasn't in a great place economically either. But it was successful and the audience figures grew. It was on FM, obviously, when it first launched. But it was something different that other markets didn't have. Why do you think it was successful in Liverpool in particular?
It was successful for a while, but it was expensive. It was very expensive radio. Don't forget, I was at the first ever City Talk. When we were in Stanley Street, because we've done this before.
On the AM frequencies.
Yeah. And in fact, my producer then, Carl Nolan, who was the lady responsible for Jeremy Corbyn, but that's another story. She was, for me, somebody who was exciting, adventurous. We did, together, the first ever soap programme. And everyone laughed at us and said, "What a stupid thing." And then it took off. And all of a sudden, we have magazines now and soaps are huge. So the first City Talk was good at the beginning and fantastic, but expensive to run. That's the problem. If it had had the Radio City Talk, if it had had a British audience like LBC, like one of those stations, I think we'd still be here.
And this really weird story, I mean, there's been a lot of weird headlines concerning Pete Price over the years that kind of make you go, "What is this about?"
I know what you're going to ask.
Pete Price is dead. What the hell is Pete Price is dead?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask Pete Price is a lizard.
Well, Pete Price is a lizard, but Pete Price is dead.
Right.
What's going on there?
Leanne Campbell, the breakfast jock, who is my dear friend. She's been in pantomime with me for many, many years. I've watched her grow from a little girl. She came up to me one day and she said to me, "I need to talk to you. I've got an idea to write a play." I sat down, I listened for 20 minutes. She told me the title, I nearly died. I then went to Kevin Fearon. She'd already spoke to him, who owns the Royal Court. He said, "I want to see 20 pages of script." On the strength of that, he booked the play, Pete Price is Dead. And it is hysterical. We opened for 4 days and then sadly the virus closed us down, but we had the most incredible reaction to the play, and it's not exactly what you think it is. And some of my friends came on the second night, and at the end of the first half they rang me and said, "Peter, we're loving every second of it, but what the hell is going to happen in the second half?" So it's not what you think. When the poster went up outside, all the press were there, and it's a picture of Leanne on the gravestone and me going, "What's going on?" from behind the gravestone. So we're there, and only in Liverpool, an old fella came past, looked at the poster, looked at me, looked at the poster and went, "Oh, if only," and walked off.
But they've rescheduled it all for October, haven't they? And everybody's going to get a chance to see it when the theatre hopefully reopens again.
Every single person that booked a ticket has moved their show to October, which is great. And the set, funny enough, is still up. So whether the theatre opens before October, it's going to be a really interesting situation. The set is magnificent. It's one of the best sets they've ever had. And it's the actual Radio City Tower. And it revolves while it's working. And it's just hysterical. I cannot tell you how funny it is.
And I guess radio people will love it because it's about the station being taken over and networked, isn't it?
Timing was quite good. The radio station being taken over, but with about 400 twists.
And finally, Pete, I suppose a long time that you've been associated with the City brand. looking back on those 40 years or so, there'll be millions of memorable moments and awards, but is there kind of something that stands out for you as the most important show you did or your favourite moment on the air at City?
Indeed. It is the most difficult question. I mean, first of all, the most magical thing for me was when I was inducted into the Radio Academy of the Hall of Fame, which I cannot tell you what that meant to me. That was amazing. The only problem with that was we got a Rose Bowl, and I'd rather have had a medal, something I could have wore. The Rose Bowl looked stupid around my neck. The James Bulger case changed my life, and I became friends with Denise and Ralph, and that is the longest story in the world to tell you now. But there was one moment that I'll never forget when a 12-year-old boy rang my show. And he'd rung before. His name was Michael. He's a very sad young man. And this time it was a cry for help. And what I felt, and it's a very long story, very short, what I felt while I was live on air, that I could not put the phone down on him because he was threatening to commit suicide. So I had to make this decision. He was a young boy. What do I do? Anyway, I walked out of the show. While I was walking out the show, I got the police in place because he was near the Everton Football Club, and I got some taxi drivers, but I didn't want to spook him or frighten him off. And eventually he was going to kill himself. Eventually he came into my car. He couldn't believe that I'd walked off the show to save his life. I took him to the hospital and the police took over. The next day, the story went round the world. Last night, a DJ saved my life right round the world. And I didn't, of course, do it for that. I was just thinking of that young man who was going to commit suicide. It turned out that he had a dreadful, dreadful home life. And he sadly never really recovered. He's been in all sorts of trouble and he still gets in touch with me. But that moment made me realize how important late night radio is. And I'm going to miss every listener who have been like a family to me, and it really, that saddens me more than anything.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you obviously do a column in the Echo and you do the paper reviews on Sky, but are we going to get you back on the radio at some point, do you think?
I'd like to. Everybody keeps telling me to do a podcast, which of course this is everybody, but you know, I've got a few bob, I've had a busy life, I've got my cabaret night still, I'll do Panto every year, I've got the play. Let's sit back and see what happens. But I tell you, I worry for the radio industry at the end of this virus. I absolutely worry myself sick. I've had the best years.
Well, thanks for talking to us, Pete. And whatever you do, stay safe, won't you?
And to everybody out there, also, please stay safe.
As Pete Price here on the Radio Today programme, David Lloyd is taking us back in time in Radio Moments very soon. First, a reminder about Clean Feed during these lockdown days. It's a great way to connect with fellow presenters, guests for your show or podcast or anything like that. Clean Feed has been designed for radio people and for podcasters, and it's really simple to use and to connect in live, decent quality audio just via your browser. You can even record within the browser as well. Clean Feed won't cost you anything to get started. There is a completely free, unlimited version. It'll only take 30 seconds to sign up. You can pay for extra features if you want them. And within minutes, you'll be doing your first live interview or recording for your show or podcast. Find out more about it at cleanfeed.net. Radio
Moments. She's 70 this week. Happy birthday to Radio 4's Jenny Murray. From Bradford originally, she was at Radio Bristol, and she's been hosting Woman's Hour since 1987.
All I remember was being absolutely petrified and sitting in the studio and sort of expecting that they would say, oh, and now Woman's Hour with Marjorie Anderson, or oh, and now Woman's Hour with Sue McGregor. And they didn't. They said, and now Woman's Hour with Jenny Murray. And I went, oh, my goodness. And from that point on, I remember absolutely nothing. Just one more question about the private life. What is it about Bill that has enabled you to forgive his infidelity?
Forgiveness is a choice, and I fully respect...
Happy birthday, Jenny Murray. And also on my birthday list here, John Wolfert is 68 years old. He established Jam, one of the world's most successful and most prolific jingle companies.
My wife and I started Jam. The initials J-A-M stand for John and Mary Lynn. Mary Lynn is my wife. That's where we got the name. The reason we started it is because this was what we wanted to do. I've always been interested in radio and production and music, and this is one area that combines all three. So It is a thrill for me to hear jingles that we made come out of a station that I'm listening to, whether it's the BBC or any number of thousands of stations elsewhere.
Happy birthday, John Wolfert, the creator of Jam Jingles. And the voice, personally, of just about every famous Sonovox jingle.
Top shop, top man!
From jingles to theme tunes or SIG tunes to programmes they were once commonplace, whether you're doing family favourites or you were Jimmy Young or you're hosting Desert Island Discs. You're Steve Wright. Or you are Johnny Walker. Or you're doing the chart show in the mid-70s. Or hosting just about any early BBC local radio programme. You used to have a signature tune. The PM programme on Radio 4 went through a succession of SIG tunes over the years, but famously rested it on the day after Diana's death, quite rightly, because it didn't seem to fit the mood of the day. It never came back, until Eddie Mair couldn't resist using it this week, 11 years ago.
Tonight, heads begin to roll over the Commons expenses scandal. A Labour MP is suspended, and an aide to David Cameron resigns. The House of Lords confirms it has dodgy members of its own. And the police force that says you can hire hundreds of extra officers without costing the taxpayer a penny. With the news, Charles Carroll.
I think that last post was edited on, wasn't it? Like the olden days, the PM theme tune returning this week in 2009 for reasons which escape me, frankly, but there we go. Maybe Times Radio is going to bring signature tunes back. It's 45 years this week since the most famous Radio 1 roadshow of all.
Radio 1 on the road.
In the summertime, here on Radio 1, David Hamilton brings you so much fun. From 3 till 5, special guests and special groups to blow your mind. Here at Mallory Park, David Hamilton on Super Radio 1.
Thank you very much indeed. Welcome to the Radio 1 fun day off from a very congested Mallory Park. As you probably heard on the motoring news, before we came on the air, you can hear some of them there, Mallory Park is closed, so don't come along and join us. We have not got room for any more. We've come actually to the centre of the racetrack here, down by the boating lake, because it's so hectic over in the Radio 1 caravan. With everybody's safety in mind, we've come over to the middle of the track here, and we're going to be talking to some of the pop stars. That's a record that the Rollers picked out as their particular favourite. That was the Beatles and All You Need Is Love. We have the most amazing scenes going on here this afternoon, as you can no doubt hear, partly going on behind us since the Rollers have been here. We have a little river surrounding, two various parts of the track here, and the girls are actually swimming across the river to try and get at their idols. In the meantime, their idols are trying to get away, and in the meantime, we're about to meet up.
They were the hot band at the time. It was the time when, all the girls were screaming and throwing themselves at the Bay City Rollers. And to get away from them, they got into a boat, or a couple of boats, I think, on the lake and rowed away from them. And the girls jumped in, fully clothed, and swam after them. We didn't worry about health and safety in those days. Just about anything went. I think everybody was very worried about it because, you got a whole lot of girls in the water swimming. You don't really know whether they can swim or not. Not sure whether they did either.
The chaotic Radio 1 roadshow at Mallory Park with the Bay City Rollers this week in 1975. 35 years ago this week, my old friend Tony Della Hunty left his station, set up his kit and prepared for another football match commentary at Valley Parade. It's one he'll never forget.
And we're on fire here at Valley Parade. The whole end of the stand at one side is actually in flames now. I can see the orange of the flames. The game is actually stopped here at Valley Parade. Before that, there was a certain amount of shaking of fists and a bit of a hoo-ha at that far end. And they're running out of the ground now from that far end at this moment. And I'm hoping that the police, I can see some policemen's helmets over there, can control this. It looks like there could be a situation of panic, but all the time people are spilling onto the pitch and we can see the flames going up into the air there. We're getting reports outside that steam is going over and people are they're running around beside us, they're running around all around us, and people are saying, get onto that pitch. People all the time spilling onto the pitch. The game is stopped. Mickey Bullitt, Yorke, you can see above me. Oh, what can you say?
The whole stand is on fire, Tony. It's an absolute, and it's spreading quickly. There's going to be
Tony Dillahunty at the Bradford City Ground this week in 1985. So, with the first Mental Health Minute broadcast simultaneously across hundreds of UK radio stations 2 years ago...
Because no matter who you are or what station you listen to...
All of us have moments when life is tough.
Just starting a conversation on mental health could make all the difference.
Russell Crowe walking out of a Radio 4 interview with Mark Lawson 10 years ago...
I'm a little dumbfounded that you could possibly find any Irish in that character. That's kind of ridiculous, but then it's your show. Whatever.
So you're going for... Well, no, just hang. You're going for Northern English.
Primetime Radio going on air on Digital One 20 years ago.
You're with Primetime Radio, Saga's national digital radio station.
The Radio North Sea ship being firebombed by raiders 49 years ago.
This is the Mebo 2. This is the Mebo 2 on fire. This is the Mebo 2 on fire. SOS, Mayday, Mayday, Mayday.
2LO launching in London 98 years ago.
This is 2LO, the London station of the British Broadcasting Company calling.
The last Russ Williams show on Absolute Radio 4 years ago.
That is it from me. This has been 6 years of rock and roll football, 23 and a bit years broadcasting out of this building. It's been
and the merger of GWR and Capital to form GCAP 15 years ago. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David, and to Roy Martin, and to my guest, Pete Price, this week. And thanks to you for listening. We're back same time next week. See you then.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macassar.